Yes, I have to tell you that this morning started out with the thought of it being a two-part message. And I think it'll end at two parts. It won't be shorter, no. Because I had just a weird dream before I woke up. And before I woke up, I had been awake. And while I was awake, I was having these things go through my mind about what was to take place today. Because I take these opportunities together very personally. I care so much about you. I want to make sure that I give you something from God, not from me. I recognize I don't really have much to offer, but at the same time, I could get in the way of God, and I don't ever want to do that. And the last thing that I was thinking before I went back to sleep was, you know, the thought was in my mind, you know, what are we here for? And then the next thing I knew, I was waking up, only it was in a dream. And the piano was shoved over there, and I was waking up right here, and all of you were here. And I was, you know how you are when you come out of a real deep sleep? I was trying to get together why I was here asleep, and you all were there. And John actually got up and you know, I think that he was like here going, bro, you know, waking me up. And I'm going, okay, what is this all about? And then while I was trying to get myself gathered together, in came some people that I'd never seen before, and they just said, oh, we've got something. And so they started going, and so I went and I sat down back there, and there were some people beside me that I hadn't seen before, and I'm sitting there going, well, okay, I don't know what in the world this is all about, but what's going on? And I'm sitting there, and there's a whole lot of activity going on. And I'm going, well, you know, everybody seems like they're doing pretty good, you know, and you know what, you know, I'm sitting there, but all of a sudden I started thinking, there's a lot of activity, but why are we here? Because there was just a lot of activity going on, but there wasn't anything that I could recognize as being anything that had to do with, you know, God. And then the next thing is there's kids marching around, and I'm thinking, well, this must be like, you know, we used to have when I was a kid, they'd have the kids with the palm branches or something. We used to do that here in the church too, but there was nothing about God. It was just a lot of stuff going around. And so, well, I'm up with everybody else, and I'm going around, and I'm about right here, and all of a sudden there's Vicky with me. And I said, Vicky, there's something wrong with me. There's something really wrong. I don't have any idea what is going on. I just can't get myself to function. And she said, that's because you're not awake. And then I woke up. And I was like, oh, thank God. I'm still in bed, you know. And, you know, I thought a couple of days must have passed. It was only about 15 minutes, but I'm sitting there. And the Lord just spoke to me. And the first scripture that came to me was a scripture of the, and I'd read that last night before I went to bed, where Moses said to the Lord that he wanted the Lord to anoint someone because he didn't want the people being like a sheep without a shepherd. And the Lord just spoke to me. He said, it's important that we have a purpose. And so to me, it was like, okay, that was like just an answer to the fact of it's got to be something worthwhile. We gather, we come into this place, we gather in His name to worship Him. It's got to be something worthwhile. It can't just be activity, you know, because activity just becomes a distraction. And even I was sitting there in the midst of the activity thinking, well, I, you know, maybe this is okay. I can just get myself to wake up, you know. But I was seeing it, you know. And sometimes there's that thing that is, you know. So many people get trapped in the idea of activity. You know, churches can become a social club where it's just activity. And yes, we've done something, you know. When we talk about the food pantry, you know, I want us to set a standard, you know, that is abundantly above and beyond what other people would hope or think. Because of Jesus, not to look good or anything like that, but just because of the Lord, there's got to be a purpose for it. And so my answer to that then, see, I was going to talk about that before we began to worship, to make sure that we were in the right frame of mind, that we were here to worship the Lord. But as always, the Lord is way ahead of us, and once we started in, there was no backing out for me. There was no stopping to talk about what was already happening. People entering into the presence of the Lord. You see, this is where these things flow from. This is where life flows from, that attracts a brother who started out to be your encouragement and then went another way. But now you're coming with more of something that's so real that it's drawing him. He doesn't even know for sure why, but your prayers, and because he is seeing something. He's seeing some life. He's seeing some freedom. He's seeing some liberty. He's seeing chains dropping off and saying, I want where there aren't any chains. And so this is good. This is a good thing that the Lord does in our lives. And on Wednesday, I have to review a little for those of you who weren't here. On Wednesday, we talked about what's the big deal. And it was pretty much along this same line of, you know, Moses simply, if you saw the devotion online or if you picked one up, Moses was told by God to go and to speak to the rock and bring forth water. And Moses didn't. Moses hit the rock. What was the big deal? You know? I mean, it wasn't that big of a deal, was it? But it was a big enough deal that Moses did not get in to the promised land. He got to see it. He was taken with the Lord. The Lord buried him. I mean, he didn't have a bad deal, but the thing was, you know, what was the big deal about that? We need to understand as Christians that it's a big deal to seek, to find, and to obey the Lord, to follow hard after him. We need to understand it is a big deal. Not because the wrath of the Lord is going to come upon us. It's a big deal because through our obedience comes our blessing. And God's promise, remember, to Abraham was, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to make you a blessing. We have a responsibility to be blessings. We are not going to be blessings if we are not blessed. We can do good things, but good things, unless we are blessed, are just good things. I did some good things before I was ever saved. But they weren't anything lasting, and they weren't anything that was going to be fruitful to the future. And probably I did good things the same reason that everybody else does good things, to make myself feel like I wasn't a bad person. Maybe. I don't know. I don't have any. I have understanding backwards. I didn't have any understanding at the time. But we need to have that. And something that came out that has just continued to speak to me from that is that I believe that it was a place where God was wanting to show a transition. He told Moses, he said, take the stick. But he said, speak to the rock. He wanted the people to see that he was a God that responded to the voice of a man. Amen. He wanted the rock to hear. Later we know that Jesus said, hey, speak to the mountain. He wanted the people to understand that there was something new coming. The promised land was supposed to be a new opening too. And these people had known God. They had known him as they smote the Egyptians. He had known them as the death angel came. They had known him as one who Moses held out the stick and the seas parted. And then what happened? The seas crushed the Egyptians. They had known him as one who spoke from a mountain. They had known him as all of that. And in this case, God said to them, okay, listen, Moses, just come and speak to the rock. And out of that rock, I will provide the needs of the people. But Moses missed that transition. And Moses struck the rock. And yes, the water came forth, but there was a price to be paid. And so now we want to talk about the fact that, yes, Moses, oops, I missed it. Take the rod, God said, take the rod. We discussed this too. Was God setting Moses up for failure? By having him take the rod, he'd be tempted to use the rod. No, he took it. He said, take the rod and call the people before you. The people knew about the rod. They knew there was something special about the rod. They responded when Moses had the rod. But all Moses had to do was what God said. Just talk to the rock. And the question also has come to me, what do you say to a rock? Oh, Mr. Rock, please give us water. Mr. Rock, in the name of God Almighty, bring forth water. Or, Rock, God told me to speak to you, and I don't have a clue what to say, but I'm talking to you. And the water comes. Who knows what you say to a rock, but that was what God said, go and talk to the rock. He said, you go and you talk to the rock, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. He wanted them all gathered, and he wanted them to see how this water came. He wanted them to see that when the man of God, and they being people of God, that when he spoke to the rock, their need would be met. He wanted people to know him as the God who put a new heart in them, a God who would be their father and they would be his children. He wanted those people to experience a relationship with God that was so wonderful that when he simply spoke even to a rock, that the need could be met. We run into rocks in our lives, right? We run into things, but you see, we have to speak to them. We have to speak to that, and we have to speak to it what God would say. That's why when a friend says to me, well, that must weigh heavily on you that your son is in Afghanistan, that I can say, not as some sort of a holier-than-thou, oh, great man of faith type of conversation, but just to say, no, I have to give it to God because I can't do him any good if I'm afraid. So then with confidence, I'll speak to that rock. I'll speak to all of those rocks and all of the angels that are behind them protecting my son, and I will say, oh God, I'm so glad that because he's there, there's a whole lot more people protected as well. This is the confidence that I have in God. And if that is not the way that God is, then I've been wrong for 25 years, and I'll just go back to whatever I did before. But according to the Word of God and according to the way that God performs, he's faithful and he's true. And this is what the world needs to see, is how faithful and how true God is. Those people needed to see that the man of God, in response to the Word of God, could speak to the rock and their greatest need would just quite simply come forth. And it wasn't a drizzle so that they all got a sip, but it was enough that they all drank to the full. It was enough that all of their animals drank as well, and there was some left over for other people who might be coming by because it didn't just dry up, you know. So other people were blessed as well simply because of that. And so God still did what God wanted to do. But Moses missed it. It isn't the end of the world when we miss it. But it's not something to be desired, and it's not something to sit around and say, oh well, if I miss it, it'll turn out okay. Look at Moses. Moses didn't have to lead those people anymore. Moses ended up getting to go up on the mountain, take a look at the promised land, and say, oh, I've seen it now, and leave. Good enough for me. Yep. I mean, so we could say it that way, or we could say, man, you know, Moses really did want to go in. He really wanted to lead them into the promised land. He really wanted to be a part of that. I mean, after all, he sent out the spies so that they would see it. He went through the sad, sad situation of the people siding with the 10 who didn't know any better, and with God saying, nope, now you can't go. And all of those people then who ultimately were dying in the wilderness, they never got to see that side of God. But the younger generation, they did. They got to see, they got to understand, they got to have it explained to them, so that by the time that Joshua came and God said, don't be worried, don't be discouraged, don't, the battle is your, not yours, it's God's, go do this. And then they saw Joshua, he did just what God said. God said, go have the people stand in the water. Joshua said, God said, go stand in the water. And it parted. They walked across. God said, take 12 rocks out of the middle of the river. Joshua said, let's each get a rock out of the middle of the river. Let's build a monument here in the middle of the river. Let's build another monument over here. Let's do what God says. They did what God said. God said, okay, now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go over to Jericho, and I want you guys to march silently around that city, around those walls. And so Joshua told the people exactly what God said, and the people walked around. And then Joshua said, now this last time, we're going to shout, those walls are going to come down. We're going to speak to those walls are going to come down. Perhaps they activated the angels when they shouted, and the angels crushed it. I have no idea how that came about. But the fact was, he just spoke. They blew the trumpets, and he spoke. We know another place where they just gathered around, and they broke their jars, and they shouted the sword of the Lord and Joshua, and they won again. You know, we know then they began to learn the transition of speaking. But still, it was very hard for the people. It was very hard for the people because they weren't focused on it. They were then focused on, okay, Joshua, you seek the Lord the way that they had been focused on Moses. You seek the Lord. And they go through a time of judges, and they go through every manner of thing, and they go through the blessings, and they go through the curses, and they get to the end of it, and here comes the New Testament, and here comes Jesus, and Jesus comes, and he says, I'm the Son of God, and Jesus begins to speak healing. He begins to speak deliverance. He begins to speak provision. He begins to speak protection. He begins to show them the way. He said, now listen, faith comes. In Romans it tells us that faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing those things. The best place for you to hear it is out of your own mouth. This is only a seed for you, but from that seed you can take a harvest, and you can begin to speak it out of your own mouth. And you can begin to declare those things that are not as though they are. And you begin to say them, and your faith begins to build up, and you begin to see the Lord responding to your voice. And as the Lord is responding to your voice, and as the things of God are coming into your life, then other people begin to see those things coming into your life, and then those people say, I want that. Anybody who has any thought of God, who has not decided that there is no God, most will acknowledge, well, yeah, he's God, but they start out with him. He's a distant God. He's a powerful God. He's mostly an angry God. See, it fits right into a lot of people's thinking that when there's trouble, it's God causing the trouble. Very few people want to say, maybe I caused the trouble myself. Very few people want to say, perhaps I opened the wrong door and allowed the wrath of God, allowed wrath into my life that's been really stored up. I think that God stores it up to keep it away. Because obviously, if God says he doesn't want anybody to perish, he could just let it loose. He could just let it all loose every day, and there'd be not a lot of people left every time he did that. And we'd just continue to have to repopulate the earth, and hopefully we wouldn't be one of those that disappeared. That's not the way God feels about it. God's very clear about how he feels about you, how he feels about me. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That's how much he loves us, that we might know how great the love of God is toward those who believe him, how great his power is toward those who love him. That we might know that. If there's anything that he wants us to know, that's what he wants us to know. He wants us to comprehend that, because when we comprehend that, then we have a relationship. Moses missed it. And where the people could have seen a voice, bring forth the water, they once again saw the stick. That's how God does things, with a stick. That's how he teaches us things, with a stick. That's how he gets our attention, with a stick. well do you respond to a stick? Seriously? You might submit to a stick not to get hurt, but in your mind, the first chance you get, you're going to get that stick. You're going to hide it. You're not going to use it anymore. And neither is whoever's using it on you going to use it anymore. That is not how God ever intended that we respond. He never intended that we have that kind of a relationship. God is not into abusive relationships. God is into loving relationship. We want our children to love us. We want our friends to love us because they love us. And yet somehow we've allowed darkness to convince us that God wants us to love us because He'll beat us if we don't. I will get you. Tell everyone, I will get them. You know, that's what we need on our sign. God's going to get you. Safety inside. No, God loves you. God's got so much for you. God created everything, and we were created for His pleasure. We were created. That's why we were created. To give Him pleasure. Our love gives Him pleasure. Our trust gives Him pleasure. Our praise gives Him pleasure. Our worship gives Him pleasure. And true worship and true praise come out of hearts that are in love, not hearts that are in fear. There's a purpose. There's a purpose for our gathering. The purpose is that we get together, and from this spot and other spots around the world, praise is offered up to God. Love is offered up to God. Points of light go up to God, saying, we love you, we trust you, we believe in you. We want to hear you. We all want to hear you. We all want to experience you. We all want to, yes, Lord, we want to be blessed so that we can be a blessing, so that we can be a real blessing, because we are confident of your blessing. And if we can just somehow convey that confidence so that somebody else can get confident in your desire for them, for relationship with them, that you're not out with a stick after them. But no, you're throwing out a net to gather them and to bring them gently in. Not to cook them or clean them, but simply to bring them into your school, your way, your will of doing things and being things. If we don't have that, then we've just got activity. And activity doesn't satisfy. It never really satisfies. That's why there has to be more and more activity in everything else in the world. I mean, we are a society that needs to be continuously entertained. They're coming up with new things to entertain. Some of them not so good. But people are just, you know, needing something. What they need is God.
Amen.
What they need is the Lord. He's the one that will fulfill that empty spot. He's the one that gives the peace. He's the one that will give true joy. We all want true joy. We all want life. We do. We've been looking for it. We We're here to commit ourselves totally unto God. Because if we submit ourselves totally to God and we resist the devil, then he'll flee from us. We're coming upon the Easter season, the celebration of the resurrection of the Lord. The realization of what he did so that we could experience life abundantly. We're coming up on that. And all over the world, there are people that have never known the fullness of God in their lives. And there's people whose hearts are tender and their hearts are opened. And if we can have that confidence and that assurance of God's desire for a relationship with everyone, then we can convey that to them and they can know joy and they can know life like they've never known before. Everybody needs it. Not everybody will jump at it. Not everybody would be all that excited about it. But there's some that are. Some that have a need. And so we need to be totally committed to the cause of Jesus Christ. Totally committed as children of Abraham. Ready to receive Abraham's blessing and be a blessing. Ready to open up and to just actually receive all that God has for us and with confidence share all that God has for us. He's got the answers. He's got the answers to our economy. He can restore in a moment. Look at the times that God did the absolute impossible. One day, a whole city is starving and eating their babies, and the next day, they have more than they know what to do with, and lepers brought it to them. It's nothing for the Lord to help by many or by few, for him to take care of it. So, which side are we going to be on? On the side that says, it'll be forever until America recovers. We better just hold on. Or, the Lord can do it in a day. The Lord can do it so simply. Maybe he will just start in your life and you'll be able to share with others how God has done this marvelous thing, and then they will say, well, God can do it in my life, and then pretty soon everybody's saying God should do it in my life, and then pretty soon everybody's saying there never really was a recession, there never really was any problem, it was all a ploy by Bush. You know? They never really happened. But the truth is, the Lord restored. Can God restore? Is God able to bring forth water out of a rock? Is he able to do abundantly above what anybody can hope or imagine? Moses missed it. We can learn a lesson from him. We can learn to, by faith, speak the truth. God, people who love God and who follow God, speaking the truth of God in love and seeing the Lord watch over his word and perform it. I think that it's so wonderful that even though Moses missed it, God didn't withhold what the people needed. He'll get it done. But may the Lord give us ears to hear, and may he give us the confidence and the assurance to speak it, and the faith to stand believing for it. Believing for those things that we're not seeing, but that we know by faith. Amen? Why are we here? We're here to worship God. We're here to grow in the Lord. And we're here to grow the kingdom of God. To go out of this place full of time in his presence, having seen his face, and to reveal his face to a world that doesn't understand him. He has given us, he told us last week, the keys to the kingdom. Amen. And what a blessing. And Paula shared with us that as she was giving her offering, the Lord said that was one of those keys too. That we pray over what we have to offer the Lord financially, emotionally, spiritually, physically, that God would bless it and use it and replenish it in greater ways than we can hope or imagine. So, Father, we thank you for the word that you've put in our hearts this morning, for the words that you've shared, for the opportunity that we've had to worship you and give you praise and give you glory and give you honor. Show us the way, Lord. Show us the way and grant us willing spirits to sustain us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.